10 years ago, tens of thousands of Russians took to the streets in what was known as the Snow Revolution.
You feel the election was stolen?
Yes, sure.
Look it up, and Wikipedia will tell you the cause of the unrest was claims by Russian foreign journalists, political activists, and members of the public that the election process was flawed.
The California law is that you will count ballots that arrive as late as 17 days or so after Election Day?
Exactly.
But it's not just in Russia. These color revolutions occurred all over Eastern Europe. No, not just Europe. They occurred all over the world. The Arab Spring in Egypt that swept the Middle East was just a spontaneous protest spurred on by social media, right?
We came, we saw, he died.
Wrong. The protest in Benghazi, Libya erupted after anger grew on the streets due to a YouTube video, right? Wrong. And it's taken time, but the colors of these revolutions are clearing, and we can see everything now. We see the people involved in each one and the strategies implemented to manipulate the people. But most importantly, we recognize the steps, and we can see that these revolutions have moved far from Independence Square in Kiev to here. Now,
Joe Biden, the challenger, continuing to lead.
Tonight, Civil War, the left's revolution playbook exposed.
Hello, America. I want to get right into it. I actually feel better because this has been thwarted by at least Russia. And so it doesn't necessarily have to go down this way. But I also feel better because I feel like we really finally know the plan. I finally feel like we know what they're doing and we can put dates to it. I want to show you this. I'm going to start here and I'm going to go through it just to show you. This is top down, bottom up, inside out. We talked about that for years. This is the way you destroy America, the free market, and the Western way of life. And it begins on election. Actually, the first couple of pillars, these are the seven pillars of color revolution, and I'll take you through this. The pillars have already started. You have a semi-autocratic leader. You've got to have somebody that you're saying, he's a fascist. Check. Then you have an unpopular leader. Oh, nobody likes him. You like him? Oh, man, I got to stay away from you. Then the media prepares election fraud. How many times are we hearing that? Election fraud, election fraud, election fraud. This is happening now. Steps 1, 2, and 3. Coming on November 3rd, the election, social media will be there to verify election fraud all over. And they'll push it out fast. Independent media over the next few days will also be talking about election fraud. This, don't believe your eyes. Then, after this is planted, then you have an organized spontaneous uprising. Then you have the last step, number 7, is police, military, government. They split. Nobody knows who to answer to. And it is chaos. That's when the people are here. Right now, the people, the anarchy, is right here. We're at step 3 right now. In the next 2 shows, I'll take you all the way and show you exactly how the deep state and everything plays into it. Now, last week, I told you about the growing trend this month about a narrative that the left is building about how Donald Trump is going to lose the election in November and refuse to leave office, right? Democrats have been delusional about Trump from day one, so I guess this narrative isn't really surprising. But the repeated references, whenever you start hearing the same thing from several sources, you realize, wait a minute, I should sit up and take notice here because maybe somebody's passing out some notes. Well, because this is remarkably coordinated messaging, and this messaging has a familiar ring to it, when you remember the color revolutions that happened in Eastern Europe during the Obama administration, it starts to sing to you. Now, color revolution might be the name of the left's insurance policy for the U.S. presidential election. They seem to be following the same playbook that they used in countries like Ukraine, because they are using the exact same playbook. And I'll show you tonight. On previous episodes, I explored everything the Obama administration did in Ukraine in coordination with George Soros. Oh my gosh, she's saying him again? That's not right. Oh my gosh, I'm such a racist. Why do I hate Jews so much? I don't care what religion, what ethnicity is. I don't care. He's a bad guy. Anyway, he put something together along with our government called Civil Society 2.0. They range from tech camps and people from our State Department actually on the ground. I'm not going to revisit those specifics tonight, but if you're already a Blaze TV subscriber, just check it out and you can watch it on demand. Refresh your memory by watching those episodes on demand. And by the way, thank you for your support. It is your support that brings this vital information that no one else seems to be digging through to find. I don't know why. And if you're not, what's the deal, dude? I mean, seriously. Oh, no, let me do Joe Biden. Come on, man. Join us. We need your support. Blaze TV, use the promo code Glenn, and you'll save $10. Of course, on that $10 bill, face of a racist. Now, the left is done with regular U.S. presidential elections. 2016 ruined it for them. The coronation for the first female American president was all set. The decorations were ready. The catering was ordered. Remember what that felt like? The outsider crashed the party, and the left vowed with remarkable unity, never again. Now, through the color revolution that the State Department instigated all around the world, especially in Eastern Europe, there are American experts in this field of a mostly peaceful regime change. These Americans are specialists who have developed a systematic approach to a color revolution. And in their desperate hour, they seem to be using this playbook on our own nation. The left and the mainstream media have waged a four-year war to delegitimize President Trump with singular focus on November 3rd, 2020. In the left's collective mind, losing an election is an impossibility. But there is still always a wild card that the American people are just so stupid. So make no mistake, the goal is just under 6 weeks from now, and it is set to have the system change. One where the ruling class elites are back in charge. Democracy is convenient and all, but the little people, they're revolting, you know. No, I mean it. They are. They're revolting. They're awful. When the little people wreck the system and put somebody like Trump in office, the people have to be put back in their place. Now, last week, I told you about one of these color revolution specialists. His name was Michael McFaul. He was the U.S. ambassador to Russia under President Obama. McFaul wrote in an academic paper in 2005 about the seven pillars a country needs to have in place for a successful color revolution. I'm sure he was fine, you know, using it on other countries, and whether you agree with that or not, that's what our country apparently does. Well, I showed you those seven pillars on the chalkboard last week, and I'm going to return to the first four a little later on in the program. Remember, a color revolution is not an old school banana republic type military coup. It's a strategy that the U.S. has used for regime change in foreign nations with a few main components. Questioning the legitimacy of an election, mass street protests, civil disobedience, relying on media for positive coverage and promotion. Well, a year after this paper on the seven pillars was written, Michael McFaul wrote a book titled Revolution in Orange: The Origins of Ukraine's Democratic Breakthrough. Now, who wrote the only endorsement featured on the book's back cover? Yeah. Spooky dude. Yeah, this guy, I mean, he's invested so much in these kinds of revolutions, he should be the guy to write the recommendation. McFaul is just one of several color revolution specialists who were diplomats during the Obama administration. One of the most influential of those specialists is the Obi-Wan Kenobi to McFall's Luke Skywalker. Obi-Wan, these are not the pillars you're looking for, is Norman Eisen. He's a longtime D.C. lawyer and former ambassador. In 2003, Eisen co-founded a government watchdog organization called CREW, C-R-E-W, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Bookmark that one right here because we're coming back to CREW a little later. When President Obama took office in 2009, he made Norman Eisen special counsel for ethics and government reform, better known as the White House Ethics Czar. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and let it register that this guy was Obama's ethics czar. That's going to take on a whole new irony once you hear about all the things he's currently involved with. In 2011, Obama appointed Eisen ambassador to the Czech Republic. So much like Michael McFaul and the other color revolution specialist in the State Department, Eisen honed his craft on the ground in Eastern Europe. This color revolutionary guard is relatively close-knit group of the people who are also have strong connections to the Obama administration and the left's top power players. And they all share in common one goal, removing President Trump from office. How could you say that, Glenn? He was a great guy. He was an ambassador. I know. Norman Eisen actually wrote a 100-page report that is a playbook for the color revolution movement. He didn't even try to be subtle about it. It's titled The Democracy Playbook, Preventing and Reversing Democratic Backsliding. In this playbook, Eisen writes, opposition leaders may also choose to pursue more extreme institutional measures available to them, such as an impeachment process, votes of no confidence, and recall referendums to raise the profile of their campaign against the democratic erosion. Opposition leaders can also utilize extra institutional tools, engaging in or encouraging, for example, a protest, a strike, or a boycott in conjunction with civil society.
Hey, that's George Soros's plan.
Encouraging protests. Wow. You know, it's weird. It sounds exactly, I mean, in fact, precisely what the Democrats have been doing now for the past 4 months, refusing to condemn the violence in the process. It's also precisely what they're gearing up for after November 3rd. They are now broadcasting this claim that Trump will claim victory and refuse to leave office. Why? Well, it's no accident that Eisen's playbook mentions impeachment as a viable option. The name Norman Eisen, if it rings a bell, there's a good reason for it. You might remember him in this role he played, special counsel for Adam Schiff's House Impeachment Committee. Yes, that's right. Eisen literally wrote the book on impeachment in July. It's called A Case for the American People, the United States v. Donald J. Trump. The left tried so hard to make it seem like Trump brought impeachment upon himself, but Eisen admits that he had already drafted 10 articles of impeachment a month before Nancy Pelosi had even announced an official impeachment inquiry of Trump. Hello. It's like the Nobel Prize. You got to do it first. You got them out of order here. You know what I'm saying? As soon as the Democrats retook the House in 2018, Jerry Nadler hired Eisen to get ready for impeachment. After all, impeachment is in Eisen's color revolution playbook. Let that sink in. House Democrats hired one of the architects of color revolution to lead them in an impeachment effort, which is part of the plan from the very beginning. And I do mean the very beginning. The weekend of President Trump's inauguration in 2012, David Brock, head of Media Matters, also funded by George Soros, put together a conference with over 100 liberal donors to map out how Democrats would kick Donald Trump's ass. Sorry, that's a quote. Media Matters, along with Crew, remember them, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, produced another 50-page playbook for the conference. And remember, who's the co-founder and board chair of Crew? That's right, Norman Eisen. Now, here's a quote from page 2. Trump will be defeated either through impeachment or at the ballot box in 2020. The memo says Crew will be responsible for filing lawsuits against President Trump. Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information, new revelations, and an inability to avoid conflict issues. That's weird. This is the first weekend he was in office. He hadn't done anything yet. Wow. Well, they've certainly fulfilled that pledge, haven't they? Good for Crew. They have dozens of pending lawsuits against President Trump and his administration. But what does all of it mean? It means that Norman Eisen, who wrote the Color of Revolution playbook, which includes impeachment as a strategy for regime change, and who was also the special counsel for the Democrat House Impeachment Committee, was planning President Trump's removal before Trump was even sworn in. Well, the Mueller report failed them, and then impeachment failed them. The full Color Revolution treatment is really all they have left. Everything that they have worked for in the last 4 years, in fact, in the last decade and a half, is going to waste. They wrote a whole plan, and it hinges on November 3rd and the election. But they've been laying the groundwork since 2017, the seven pillars at least, to pull off a successful color revolution. It seems to be in place. So I want to take a closer look at the first four of these pillars. And we're going to talk to Steve Dace about the power of polling. What is really happening on the ground? Coming up. All right, so we're 6 weeks away from the election. Hey, I feel good about it, right? COVID? Sure, I feel good about it. Unrest in the streets? Not a problem. We're rock solid, baby. Jobs, 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 and don't worry about our spending. That's for sure. May I suggest, if you don't believe any of those things are not a problem, maybe you should call Goldline. Goldline is offering prudent solutions to market risk and volatility in the form of physical precious metals. Can you imagine what's going to happen to the stock market if the Democrats do take control? Imagine what happens if we start really splitting apart at the seams. Please, for a very limited time, Goldline is offering free silver with every order. Call and find out how to get started protecting your portfolio and call one of their friendly account executives. They're standing by the phone right now waiting to talk to you at Goldline. I invest in gold myself. I put my money where my mouth is. Just about 2 months ago, I bought some more. Ask them what I bought and why I bought it at Goldline, 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. All right, before the break, I told you about Norman Eisen, one of the key architects of color revolution strategy. He even wrote Color Revolution Playbook that actually called the democracy playbook. It's right there. It's the playbook. Anyway, I mentioned before how Trump was even sworn in. Before he was even sworn in as president, Eisen collaborated with David Brock, head of Media Matters, on written strategy on how to remove Donald Trump. Right at the top of page 50 of their action plan, they write, the progressive infrastructure groups we've built together were started long before Hillary Clinton ran for president. They were always intended to be the first line of defense and offense when we are under siege." End quote. Wow. You catch that? They're already establishing that Donald Trump's legitimate election put the nation under siege. It's also disturbing that their first line of defense and offense is not voters, not you, not better ideas, not a better agenda. It's their infrastructure groups that they have built. The little army in the street. Again, quoting from the first page of their action plan, quote, "We have the mandate. Together, we won the popular vote." It's not like they won it by 70 points. We have the popular votes. Democrats picked up seats in the Senate and the House. Trump is the least popular incoming president in modern history, and the outgoing president and popular vote winner are again the most mired man and woman in the nation. And the country did not vote for Trump-style change. Actually, they did. And the most unpopular coming into office, I would say Abraham Lincoln, just guessing. Now, this clearly ties in to the second pillar on Michael McFaul's list of the seven factors need to be in place to pull off a successful revolution. Color revolution, pillar number two, an unpopular incumbent. That message began the day after Trump's election, on Inauguration Day. Remember how much the media crowed about supposedly the small crowd on the Washington Mall? Trump's alleged unpopularity has been the standard operating message for years now. According to the left and their media friends, Trump has never been popular. And of course, when you own the entertainment industry, it's easy to perpetuate that message that Trump is unpopular in all regards. And since 2008, the left has elevated Saturday Night Live's election influence to mythic proportions. So right out of the gate, SNL went outside to cast Alec Baldwin to play Trump as a nasty moron. Or what about Showtime's new James Comey glorification project? Watch this and tell me who the victim or the villain is. Watch.
Putin began cultivating Trump as an asset, helped in real estate deals, hundreds of millions in loans.
That constitutes a real threat to national security.
Would you like to come over for dinner tonight?
Just the two of us?
Nobody gets treated as unfairly as I do. It's disgraceful.
Sir?
I need loyalty. I expect.
Wow.
Loyalty.
Ripped right out of the headlines, except it's not Trump. It's Hunter Biden. Did you see that news today? The left and the media have also made a big deal this year out of a group called the Lincoln Project. Now, the narrative here is that President Trump is so unpopular and so dangerous that a group of Republicans organically, spontaneously just got together and organized a campaign for Joe Biden. But in reality, the Lincoln Project has raised over $20 million from leftist donors to campaign against not just Donald Trump, but the Republican senators who were also up for re-election. How does that happen? Well, according to its FEC filings, the Lincoln Project hired Katz Watson Group for funding consulting. Fran Katz Watson, who owns that consulting firm? Longtime Democratic operative who used to be, you know, the national finance director for the DNC. Her firm's other clients include a Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee and Democratic Congresswoman Campaign Committee. The Lincoln Project also has paid consulting fees to a firm run by Adrienne Elrod. She was the spokesperson and director of strategic communications for the Hillary Clinton campaign. So it is really grassroots GOP. And as if that's not proof enough that the Lincoln Project is just Democratic astroturf, well, its communications director is Keith Edwards, who was formerly on Mike Bloomberg's presidential campaign staff. The Lincoln Project is the very definition of Republican in name only. Now, pillar two, clearly in place. You know, if you hammer home the idea every day for 4 years that Trump is wildly unpopular, and he does stuff to do that people don't like all the time, well, it helps you create the perception that he could not possibly win a legitimate election, which helps you develop the fourth pillar on the list, an ability to quickly drive home the point that voting results were falsified. Recently, Democrats spent a couple of weeks flooding the airwaves with conspiracy theories that President Trump is going to sabotage the U.S. Postal Service with cutbacks, closing facilities, so they can't deliver all the mail-in ballots in time, and the kids and no Santa, and we're all going to be crying, oh, I want my broken toy. Anytime Trump has been critical of mail-in voting, the left immediately frames it as voter suppression. It all seems to be part of the groundwork to deny any positive election result for the president. Now, Just in the past week, we're also seeing blame placed on right-wing media, including me, because I am working to hypnotize you, to delegitimize a Biden victory. Look, if Biden wins and it's legit, he's our president. I mean, I might move to Canada. No, Barbara Streisand's there. Oh, no, she's not. It's all part of a narrative that Biden winning the election is a foregone conclusion, and that Trump disputing that result will be fake news. And, of course, social media will jump in and do its part for the cause with their fact checkers, which is really good. You know, Color Revolution, they need somebody, you know, in social media fact checking these things. Facebook, for example, if I may, is very proud of their third-party fact-checking program. They use fact-checkers that are certified by IFCN, the International Fact-Checking Network, back in a minute. Now, it sounds really official, but what exactly is the IFCN? Well, it's a project that was started by something called the Poynter Institute. The Poynter Institute gave birth to IFCN. Poynter Institute started in 1975. The world's leading instructor, innovator, convener, and resource for anybody who aspires to engage and inform citizens. Not me. Now, one of the major funders of Poynter is Open Society. Oh my gosh, that's George Soros. He's back. So, George Soros, one of the major funders. Now, PolitiFact, or Poynter, also owns PolitiFact. So they gave birth to this, but they also own PolitiFact, which is great. Now, PolitiFact's two largest financial supporters are the E.W. Scripps Company and Facebook. Isn't that great? So Poynter says these guys are good, but they started them and run them. And then these guys say these guys are legitimate, and these guys report to these guys, but these guys are giving them money and giving them money as well as George Soros is. It's great. Don't you feel good about IFCN certified fact checkers now? It means, in essence, that the IFCN certifies itself as a legitimate fact checker. Don't know how that works in the real world, but it doesn't matter in utopia with the left-wing operation. It means Facebook and everything we say is automatically trustworthy. Next time you see a fact check from PolitiFact, take it with just the tiniest bit of salt, will you? Because it's largely funded by Facebook. So, how does the election polling play into this narrative that Trump is unpopular and will somehow falsify the voting results? I want to explore that with a guy who knows it, inside and out, Steve Dace. Next. I love fall. I love winter. I love being out in the cold, believe it or not. But the cold and higher elevations, oh my gosh, make my pain so bad. And, you know, that means I'm down here in Texas, which I love, you know, except in the summer. But I would like a little cold. I'd like some country life. You know what I mean? Made me miserable. So it was up in that situation around Christmas time that my wife finally said to me, I'm not going to listen to you whine anymore about your pain unless you try something else. I'm like, I tried everything else. We've gone everywhere. It works for a while and then it stops. Why haven't you tried Relief Factor? It's on your own network. Have you watched the commercials? And I'm like, I don't watch the commercials. Who believes commercials? Anyway, I tried it because she forced me. And 2 weeks later, she asked me,
how's your Vivian?
It's not as good as you would think. I would have expected better. I've been on it now for almost 3 years. I take it every day, three times a day. It has changed my life. Try Relief Factor. It's only $19.95. It's a dollar a day trial pack. 70% of the people who go on to order the 3-week quick start do exactly what I did. Yeah, the voice and everything.
Wow, it works. I gotta order more.
It's Relief Factor. Join me now. Get your life back. ReliefFactor.com. So I'm watching Steve Dace whose name doesn't even make sense. I guess the first E is silent. Steve was talking about the polls, and he didn't believe any of them. And I'm watching, and he's pointing out stuff I did not even know. Steve is here. Steve, you say these poll numbers is part of this spin to set us up to if Donald Trump wins, everybody will say the poll numbers were not even close. This is a fixed, rigged election. Is that right?
Well, it's one of two things. Either all these people simultaneously suck at this, or they're setting up a narrative for when they want to challenge the election later. They can say, hey, we had all this data that showed there was no way he could win. He must have stolen the election. So I'll let that be in the eye of the beholder, Glenn, but it's one of those two things.
Okay, so real quick, take us through, because I thought this was stunning, and I didn't notice it, and I look at these things. Independents are way under surveyed.
In the Fox News, the latest Fox News poll, 5% of the electorate. In the latest Reuters poll, they were 10% of the electorate. Just to put that in perspective, in the last seven presidential elections, if you go back further than that, you're in an era where states weren't as polarized as they are now. So you really can't go any further back than, say, 1992. And in the last seven presidential elections, the average turnout of independents in this country has been 27%. So just a bit outside, as the great prophet Bob Uecker once said.
That is an important group for President Trump. A lot of people don't call themselves Republican or Democrat, and it was the independents that swung for Donald Trump, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in the last election, he won them by 5 points. You can win the election without winning independents. George W. Bush did it in 2004. He narrowly lost them. Obama lost them by 5 points to Romney in 2008. But it's not a recommended way to win.
Right.
There's a poll out just this week from PBS and NPR that was done by Marist College. It has Joe Biden winning independents by 21 points. To put that in perspective, in the last seven presidential elections, no one has won independents by more than 8 points. Glenn, they could poll the independents that watch PBS and listen to NPR, and they wouldn't get Joe Biden by 21 points.
So here's what I don't understand. Go ahead. No, go.
The point I was going to make is these internal mechanisms are important. Here's why. You have to know how they came to the conclusions they did. What raw data exists within their methodology that leads to a top line result? When we get a poll, that's not the raw data. It's not like they're doing tallies and 44% said Biden and 40% said Trump. They wrote them all down and reported them. That is the weighted conclusion of the pollster based on the answers to the questions that they asked. And so when you get samples that show Joe Biden's going to win one third of the electorate by 21 points, that's going to throw off the rest of your answers. When you get samples that have shown in recent, the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll had Donald Trump losing 11 points of his evangelical support. That's never going to happen. Never. Well, if that happens, yeah, Joe Biden will win and win comfortably. It's just not going to happen. Another poll showed that there would be only 14% of the electorate would be evangelicals. In the last seven presidential elections, Glenn, I'm sorry, since 2004, it hasn't been below 23%. That's not going to happen either. And so we can't just say, because we don't like the result, the polls are fake, then we kind of sound like them, which is dumb.
Right.
We have to actually go inside their numbers and point out where we can call BS. And a lot of these findings just simply can't happen in any of the nine realms. The stuff they're talking about cannot occur.
Steve, I want to be wrong about the seven pillars of color revolution. I don't want to believe that there are people who, I think some of these people probably just think they're really doing the right thing for the country. You know, some of these ambassadors and everything else that were part of this, they probably think they're right and they're probably good guys. But I can't, nothing else solves the puzzle with all of these things. When you look at the polls, that fits into the color revolution of making sure that it looks like he's not going to win. So when he does, if he does, you say, no poll showed that. This is all due to cheating.
Glenn, I'm with you. I tried to give Robert Mueller a fair shake, given his past record of service to the country. That was a scam. I tried to listen to Christine Blasey Ford's accusations and give her a fair hearing.
Yep.
That was a scam. Every time we try to give this system and say, all right, listen, we'll listen. We'll hear what you have to say. It's always a lie. And so, you know, it's the same thing we've seen with the COVID panic porn this year. And I think the same people that have done a lot of our COVID data are doing the polling right now.
Okay, real
Joe
quick.
Joe Biden may win, but it won't be by any of the methodologies that are in any of these polls.
Okay, real quick. You are a guy who's done this for a living. You went out on campaign trails. You were an advisor to campaigns. You've seen polls. If somebody would have brought that to you, those polls, what would you say?
If somebody would have brought me the Emerson poll that had Trump with this highest percentage of Hispanics by a Republican since Reagan and the highest percentage of black voters by a Republican since 1960 and said, but he's still going to lose by 6 points, my next two words would have been, you're fired.
Back in a minute. And where are my Built Bars? I have books right here. Built Bars. Built Bar is a fantastic, oh my gosh, it's another story of my wife. My wife, because look at me. I mean, I'm the picture of health. And my wife looked at me and was like, hey, fatty, maybe you should tone it down a bit. So she tells me to eat these protein bars because they're healthy and blah, blah, blah. And they've got like 130 calories. And I have a sweet tooth. Every night, I got to have something sweet. I have to. Well, I didn't listen to her because she's only right almost every time. Why would I listen to her? I try a Built Bar because she's gone and so she won't know. And it was delicious. This company I called and said, could I please be a spokesperson for you? They are so good. Try them. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. Recommended by my wife for a long time. And me. Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Beck, and save 10%. They're delicious. BuiltBar.com, promo code Beck. Real chocolate. All right, we're going over the first part of Michael McFaul's seven pillars list of essential factors that need to be in place for a successful color revolution. The first item on that checklist is a semi-autocratic rather than fully autocratic regime. Now, obviously, the United States is not a fully autocratic regime, but the left must make the case that Trump's presidency is at least somewhat like Hitler. Well, they've done a pretty good job of staying on message. They've tried so hard pushing the Russian collusion hoax, which was supposed to make their case that Trump just wants to be like Putin. Here's the author of The Color Revolution Pillars himself, Michael McFaul, in a BBC interview less than 30 days after Trump took office.
Now and again, when he says things about our institutions, it reminds me of those early Putin years. When he calls the press, for instance, the enemy, that reminds me of Vladimir Putin in 2000, when he declared that the press was the enemy, and he went after them. When President Trump questions our rule of law, he questions our judges, that reminds me of an earlier period in Russian history, in the early Putin years, when over time, the judiciary became more subservient to the presidency.
I have to tell you, I agree with those things at that time, but that's not what happened. It's interesting that even now they still try to tie Trump to Russia, which is the one place where the State Department apparently could not get their color revolution done. That must be why Michael McFaul lasted just 2 years as the U.S. ambassador to Russia. Next, any autocratic president worth their salt would have some sort of, you know, I think we're going to break your legs. They help him carry out, their will. Well, enter Charlottesville, the tiki torch carrying neo-Nazis, armed white supremacists. They provided the left with the perfect visuals they needed to paint this far fringe character of Donald Trump as a wacko militia leader. Now, anytime Antifa or BLM instigate some of, you know, their really famous, mostly peaceful protests, we're told the real threat is from Donald Trump's wacko right-wing militias. The left has tried building a case from day one that Trump is an aspiring dictator. But the COVID pandemic has exposed the inconsistency of their scheme. The constant attack against the president for 6 months is that he hasn't been autocratic enough in addressing the pandemic. Why on earth, they wonder? Why won't the president declare a national mask mandate? Well, I don't know, because it's not allowable in the Constitution. Isn't forcing every citizen to wear a mask exactly what an autocratic ruler would do? Answer, yes. Trump has resisted the kind of heavy-handed responses that the pandemic has given the Democratic governors. They're embracing without flinching, and they're criticizing him for not being autocratic. Naturally, they get praised for it, while Trump is being blamed for the death of 200,000 Americans. That is the definition of insanity. By the way, Joe Biden now says that if he's president, he believes he has the authority to create a national mask mandate somewhere in the good and plenty clause of the Constitution, he's sure. Autocratic for me, but not for thee. Come on, man. Speaking of that, Barack Obama's presidency proved that any degree of autocratic is not really a concern for the left as long as it's their guy in charge. It's nonsensical. Spying on the Associated Press, threatening reporters with jail on issues of identifying sources, using the IRS to target Tea Party members, attempting to force nuns to grant access to birth control, going around the Constitution's treaty provisions and making that disastrous Iran deal. Now the Democrats are actually saying that they will pack the court. They'll drop the filibuster. They'll change the Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College. They also are going to add Washington and Puerto Rico as states. Well, they can't do any of those things. Congress can't do it. Neither can the president. Those all have to be voted on state by state as per the Constitution. How are they going to do that? Regardless what you think of President Trump's comments to the media or his tweets or any of his impulsive tendencies, I don't like the things that he does like that. I don't. But that doesn't make him an autocratic ruler. Being autocratic is working to expand your power beyond the constitutional limits. That's why the right doesn't like Ginsburg as a Supreme Court justice, and why we want someone to stay a strict constitutionalist, to stay within the limits of the Constitution. I know that's not going to work out for me as a conservative sometimes. Sometimes it will. But at least we know what the law is. It's not another legislative branch. The end result of the color revolutionaries trying to establish Trump as a scary authoritarian ruler is their conclusion that he's actually going to refuse to leave office when he loses the election. There is no proof that Trump would ever refuse to leave office. And if it's a legitimate office, man, I'm going to go with you to Washington. Get out! And even if he tried to refuse, they haven't really explained how he would pull off such a feat. As for pillar number three, a united, organized opposition. This is the left's speciality. They have been united and organized since the day one of Trump's presidency. Remember the pink hats? I've already mentioned David Brock and Norman Eisen, the conference on inauguration weekend that brought together 100 of the most powerful leftist donors to map out a plan to remove him. Then there's the Transition Integrity Project, headed by Bill Clinton's former chief of staff, John Podesta. Note how transition is basically assumed. A Biden win is their foregone conclusion. The TIP conference invited 100 current and former government officials, academics, and journalists to war game various election outcome scenarios. It was started by Rosa Brooks, who is a Georgetown law professor. She served as special counsel to the George Soros Open Society Foundation. It's almost fun. She's also on the advisory board there. It's hilarious that every mention of the Transition Integrity Project in the media is nonpartisan, followed quickly behind. Listen to this quote from a Washington Post article Rosa Brooks wrote weeks after the TIP war games. Quote, a landslide for Joe Biden resulted in relatively orderly transfer of power. Every other scenario we looked at involved street-level violence and political crisis. Oh, well, it doesn't get any more bipartisan than that, does it? I mean, that doesn't sound like a veiled threat. You better vote for Joe Biden or you're going to face street violence. Really? Who's the one that has the thugs out already? The conclusion of the tip report made it clear that any effort by Trump to stop the street violence using the National Guard or to have Attorney General Barr investigate voter fraud will automatically be seen as election interference by Trump, which would then just reinforce pillar number one, that Trump is power mad and an autocratic monster. Self-fulfilling prophecies are the darndest of things. The Color Revolutionary Guard is so united and so organized that one election wargaming conference wasn't enough. A coalition of 50 left-wing organizations held a Zoom conference earlier this month called the Democracy Defense Nerve Center. One participant told the Daily Beast that they strategized about practical matters like how to, quoting, occupy crap, hold space, and shut things down, not just on election day, but for weeks. Perfect. Participants in the Democracy Defense Nerve Center say such a large number of group from the left has never coordinated, never been so closely knitted together before. I mean, who could have seen this one coming? Now let me take you to Rana Epting. She's the executive director of Move On, which was funded by George Soros. In the conference, this is what she said. It is very obvious that Trump is laying the groundwork for claiming victory no matter what. We will fight to protect our democracy from what we truly see as a president who has gone off the rails and taking this country down an authoritarian fascistic path. Now, I don't know what kind of Disneyfied version of authoritarian fascist leaders these people have studied, because if they knew anything about actual fascistic governments, they would know that their lefty election fight club meetings, their books, their tweets, and everything else, the millions of dollars in fundraising, would never be allowed to happen. They'd all be canceled, thrown in prison, executed in some dark alley. Because that's what happens under normal dictatorships. And if Donald Trump is an authoritarian fascist this term, then every one of these color revolutionary clowns should fall on their knees and thank Almighty God, who doesn't exist in their world, that they are so lucky to live under such oppression. Next Wednesday's show is very important. I took you here to step three. This next week, we're going to take you into election and beyond. What happens when all the walls are broken down because the bottom has risen up? What does it look like with the top coming down? Also, we'll look into ways to make sure that we're the ones carrying the fire extinguisher. But the most important thing is if you know this is happening, you see right through it and you don't play into their hands. I don't need to tell you. We're peaceful people. We don't like revolutions in the streets. So don't participate. Opt out on that, because that's what they need you to do, to actually get angry and then go do something stupid. We're better than that. And our president is better than that. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the radio. We've got a show. We're going to be going over these again. We've got some pretty shocking things to share with you also tomorrow. It just never seems to stop. So we'll see you there tomorrow. Good night, America.